The WBEN All Local. All Local. A daily look at what's happening in Buffalo, Western New York, and the world.
I'm Susan Rose.
I'm Brian Masurowski.
New U.S. military airstrikes on Iran.
U.S. Central Command says Air Force and Navy fighter jets targeted Iranian air defense, ground control stations, and radar sites. The strikes are a response to an Army Apache helicopter being brought down by an Iranian drone off the coast of Oman. Both crew members were rescued. Iran says it retaliated by launching projectiles towards U.S. bases, one in Bahrain, the other in Jordan. Kuwait's army said it was also intercepting an attack. This is the biggest flare-up since a ceasefire was declared in April. Mediated indirect talks have failed to bring a conclusive end to the conflict. Jonathan Savage, Fox News.
The Buffalo Common Council has approved a payout of nearly $6 million to the estate of a firefighter who was killed in a fire 3 years ago. Jason Arno died while battling a four-alarm fire on Main Street in March of 2023. He was 37 years old. Arno's widow filed a wrongful death lawsuit after his death, accusing the city and fire department of negligence. With the Common Council's approval, the payout will be complete in three installments over the next 3 years.
America 250 in Western New York.
One of the highlights of America 250 celebrations happening around the country is rolling through Western New York. WBEN's Jim Fink has been following the big boy.
What was that sound? The sound of the historic steam-powered big boy locomotive arriving in Ripley yesterday afternoon that attracted so many to this tiny Chautauqua County town that's located less than 4 miles from the New York-Pennsylvania border. The draw was history. The draw was curiosity. The draw was because Big Boy is making a rare Western New York appearance. The hook was real and compelling, says Erie resident Greg Fitzgerald, who traveled to Ripley.
But it's just a sight to be seen. Built back in 1941. And look at it. Doesn't show a bit of aging.
Tom Schmidt is a self-described model train collector. Not surprisingly, in his collection is a model Lionel train version of Big Boy.
It's amazing. You know it's going to be big, but it's even bigger than you expect it to be. It's just beautiful when you look at how it's all put together.
Schmidt was one of several thousand people who descended upon Ripley Tuesday afternoon. Big Boy is drawing huge crowds, says Ed Dickens, Union Pacific senior manager.
We love to see all the townspeople here. We see this everywhere we go.
Big Boy is a World War II era locomotive. It's Western New York's stopover, which includes being in Buffalo through Thursday morning. It's part of Union Pacific Railroad's America 250 celebration. This is Jim Fink for WBEN.com News.
All right, Jim, thank you. And hey, what a cool thing to have.
Yes.
Here in Western New York, a big part of the America 250 celebration rolling through. So many people saw it roll through yesterday, parts of Western New York. Quick actions of students and staff at Williamsville South High School saved a student's life less than a month ago, and those involved were honored by the district yesterday. Here's WBEN's Brayton Wilson.
Towards the end of the school day, back on May 21st at Williamsville South High School, Ian Tatunji was running during PE class outside when he instantly collapsed and went into cardiac arrest. That's when students and staff outside at that moment quickly assessed the situation and started interventions within a minute.
Truly, it was an effort of right people, right time, right place, right training. Really, knowledge is power. We really look for our AEDs to be accessible. We want them to be used. We hope we never have to use them, but that's why they're there, and this is why they are there, to truly save a life. We are so grateful to have Ian with us.
That's Williamsville District Medical Director Christine Hall. Dr. Rebecca Pratt from Golisano Children's Hospital of Buffalo says it was the quick actions of everyone involved that helped save Ian and allow him to be here today.
He hit my ICU team, and then they called me as the cardiologist to say, hey, this is what happened. We're still gathering information. And so the fact that our team here was able to go through the video footage, to go through step by step, here's what happened, and that our nurse practitioner here, Christine Hall, was able to go through. And, you know, when I said, I need that AED so I can get the rhythm strips off of that, because that AED, along with the team here saved his life. That is really what was critical for Ian.
As for Ian's mom, Lindsay, she knows her family is very fortunate that CPR training and AED awareness helped save her son's life, and is hopeful other families will be just as fortunate if they experience a similar situation.
Ian is doing well. He's back at school. He's going to cardiac physical therapy. And once his ICD has healed for another month or so, he'll be back riding his bike with his friends, playing baseball and golfing this summer. We are eternally grateful and looking forward to a lifetime of memories, adventures, and fun with our boy.
Hear more from Tuesday's ceremony recognizing those who saved Ian's life on our website. Brayton Wilson, WBEN.com News.
Brayton, that's a great story.
Incredible.
I love hearing that. And game four of the Stanley Cup Final last night.
The Vegas Golden Knights hosting the Carolina Hurricanes on Tuesday. Vegas entered this contest up 2-1, trying to take a commanding lead before the series shifts back to Carolina. But the Hurricanes made sure that didn't happen.
Bow out in front, Stahl! He scores while falling down!
The call on ABC, the captain, Jordan Stahl, flipping his body around for the goal in the third period, his second of the night, as the Canes win it 5-3 to tie the series at 2-2. Game 5 is back in Raleigh on Thursday. Tony Genualdo, Fox News.
That's going to be a huge one.
It's a great series, just incredible so far. And in the NBA Finals, Game 4 is tonight in New York City, and they're continuing with no gatherings outside of MSG.
The spotlight is on security ahead of Game 4 of the NBA Finals in New York, after nearly 24 people were arrested and several police officers were injured at a watch party in the city Monday night. ESPN reports President Trump will not be attending tonight, but the city will still enforce a multi-block security perimeter.
It's, I don't know. It's kind of turned into
multi-block.
A mess there.
I don't know if I'd want to be
I would
going.
Hate it to, yeah. You know, be looking forward to this so much, and then you have to deal with all of that that's
and arrive
going
hours
on.
Early. I mean, hours
takes a little
early.
Bit of the fun out of it, I think.
Your exclusive WBEN 7 weather forecast. Some scattered showers and thunder showers, especially this morning. Another mild and muggy day with highs near 80. Warm and humid tonight, lows near 70 with some scattered showers and thunder showers. Partly sunny with some scattered storms on Thursday, highs in the mid-80s. With your exclusive WBEN 7 weather forecast, I'm Chief Meteorologist Aaron Minkowski.
WBEN's David Bellavia is with us live on the Bison Automotive Live Line this morning. Tensions increasing in the Middle East. Two U.S. pilots were rescued after Iran downed an Apache helicopter, and the U.S. has launched retaliatory strikes. I mean, David, what does this escalation mean for a peace deal?
Well, it means that there's not going to be a peace deal anytime soon. This story was so bizarre of how the Apache helicopter, again, the media was saying that it was shot down by a drone. And Iran just doesn't have that technology to shoot anything from that drone. They can drop bombs from a drone, or they use the Shahid, this drone in particular, that looks like it made impact with the Apache outside of the Strait of Hormuz. What's interesting is the Apache helicopter that was in the process of engaging that Shahid drone. We use Apaches to shoot those slow-moving drones down. And something had to have happened here. Like, there must have been either a miscommunication or something went sideways, because the Apache gets impacted by a Shahid. But in this circumstance, the first time in the history of combat where two pilots are rescued by essentially an underwater drone. Like, we've heard all these stories that the drones would take our, you know, wounded and our downed pilots off the battlefield. That happened the other day. Those pilots were in the water, and this drone, like, you know, swims up, fishes them out, and brings them back to a vessel. Pretty impressive. Unfortunately, you find out in real time. The pilots are fine, but this opened up another salvo, and it just shows you that this entire episode is nowhere near ending. And, you know, the president at some point has to make a decision. This is supposed to be a response that is balanced to what losing or potentially losing two pilots. I don't even know how that determination is made. Either you're going all in and you're taking the regime out, or this is back and forth. It's going to continue to happen.
Yeah, we have not been all in, it seems like, in this, you know, ceasefire, quote unquote ceasefire period. I don't know how that's exactly determined. Seems like there's been a lot of fire going on while the ceasefire has been in place. But we've almost been in a holding pattern here as the president's kind of waiting, hoping for some sort of deal that reopens the strait, that ends the conflict. When do you lose the hope of that actually happening?
This is the problem when any president, Democrat or Republican, tells the enemy what you're not going to do. You cannot do that in any conflict. If you, just like a parent talking to a child, it's never a good idea to give a kid options. If you want to discipline a child, when you are dealing in conflict, you cannot say, we're going to handle this situation, but here are the things that we refuse to do. This administration and this president have said from the very beginning, we're not going to put ground troops, in Iran. And the thing is that everyone fears, well, what does that mean? That means a war. It's a never-ending war. It's Iraq. It's Afghanistan. There's no possibility that you could achieve the objectives that clearly need to be achieved here in Iran unless you have some force or some threat of a force that can assure that, missiles are spiked and drones don't launch. But they've chosen to not do that, and they've chosen to say that out loud, and I'm just saying that this negotiation isn't making any sense. And here's another thing. If you're going to say we have no the Iranian Revolutionary Guard is going to do their own thing, we're going to negotiate in good faith, but we can't control our people. That was the statement, give us time to control every aspect of what we're doing. At this point, you're either a part of it, you're facilitating the attacks on Americans and allies, or you are proving to the world that you have no control over the proxies in your country. So either way, intervention needs to be had if you are trying to tell the world that you have no control over your weapon systems and your missiles. This is either all in or you come up with some deal where you say, because at any point right now, if the president walks away from this, I think it's a bad day for America. At this point, after all the, saber rattling, you have to have a result in Iran. Forget oil prices, which are obviously impacted by it. But this is the future of the shape of the Middle East. It's far too important. Far too many lives are at stake. There needs to be some force, and it needs to be, led by the United States so that Iran clearly knows what's in their best interest is peace. And if they don't sign, there's going to be some consequence. Right now, it appears there's no consequence.
But there's another factor, though, at play here. Israel. What about Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu?
Yeah, Israel is almost like, in the wrestling world, when you see like a tag team partner that was like out of its mind. I have no control over this guy. You better, Israel is it appears to be what America can't be in this negotiation with Iran. And so Trump can say, like, for example, we just took out the head of the IGRS, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. We didn't do that. Israel did that. They want to continue to make Hezbollah an argument here in Lebanon. That's a part of the negotiation without officially being a part of the negotiation. We hear the leaks that Trump doesn't like Netanyahu and he's mad at him and he's angry at him. But I'll tell you what, Israel's force and the fact that we aren't Israel is going to go a lot farther in negotiations than anything the United States says. So in a way, it's good cop, bad cop. That's what Israel and the United States are going to do in Iran. And if there is something that President Trump doesn't have the political will to do kinetically or in combat, Israel certainly doesn't have that political midterm election. They don't care. They'll do whatever they have to do. And I think Trump is going to exploit that.
That's the WBEN All Local. All new episodes are made available each weekday morning, produced by the award-winning WBEN Newsroom.